Some time ago, I saw a cartoon. This particular cartoon showed a human being. I'll not try to describe it other than this. It happened to be a woman. Anyway, her hair was way off this one side. Her glasses were sort of hanging nose. And she had some clothes of, you know, the way they drew them, kind of weird looking. And she was sitting down in the midst of all kinds of trash and confusion and everything. Well, you can just picture this, that there really was no life, but the title of the thing that was over the cartoon was this. The woman was saying, "So this is living?" I think many people find themselves in a position where they could very well ask themselves personally, "Am I alive? Is this really living?" I believe that we need to think about our lives, the lives that we are living, or shall I say, the existence through which we're passing. I believe that God wants us to be alive. I'll repeat that. I believe that God wants us to be alive. I believe that God wants us to be vibrantly happy. Now I know, and everybody else knows, with any time at all, that there is not complete happiness at every moment. There are times of heartache, there are times of trial, there are times of doubt, there are times of fear. There are times when we just would like to, as it were, go into a hole and pull it in after us and get out of the way the things actually are at that moment. But again, the goodness of the sunshine of God's love, if we are living for God and for Jesus Christ, comes within our lives and does surround us and does keep us. I believe it's so important for us today to live as God would want us to live. Because the life that we live at this moment has much to do with the life that we will live in the future, even in this present day, and certainly it will govern the matter of eternal happiness. The matter of eternal happiness. So in one sense then, you are what you were, and someday you will be the product of all of your lifetime. Someday you will be the product of your lifetime. All of us have had the experience, if we have purchased anything at all, finding some shoddy merchandise on occasion that leaves. For some individual has failed to do his or her task. They failed to put to do the thing for which they've been paid, or the thing that they should simply have done because they wanted to do what was right. A number of years ago, I purchased a new automobile, and I had driven it about 1,000 miles when I pulled up to an intersection out in Illinois, and when I pulled up there, the car wouldn't go any farther. It was ridiculous, a new car that wouldn't move. And here I was, 400 miles from home, with a car that wouldn't move out of the intersection. Sat there for a while, and after a while, for some reason, it began to move. And I took it to the agency, and they took the transmission apart. There were some stamps in there that indicated certain things, told which workman assembled that transmission, at what hour it was put together, and all the other things. And the man said, "Well, this man will hear about his failure to do what he was supposed to do." A very simple thing. He hadn't taken that last pull on that wrench to tighten one nut that needed to be tightened. I think that life is a little bit like that. We're not moving in the direction in which we are supposed to be going because we are not doing what we are supposed to do. God has assembled our lives. God has given instructions as to how our lives should be put together, and yet we are failing to do with our lives that which God would have us to do, and hence we are missing a lot of the blessing. In the 69th Psalm, I have about 10 or 11 texts this morning I'd like you to look at. Some of them I'll just refer to and have you look at them later. In the 69th Psalm and the 32nd verse, we read these words of the psalmist. It says, "The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God." I want you to note that last part. Your heart shall live that seek God. It's not simply a matter of looking to the future. It's not simply a matter of saying, well, someday I will see the Lord. But in this day and in this age, if we see that the salvation is of God, and if we see that God, as we praise God and serve Him, if we note how God cares for even the humble things of life, how He cares for the bird and how He cares for the ox in the field, how He cares for the human being as well, and how His presence is in our lives. If we see all this, our heart shall live, or we shall be alive in Him. We shall be alive in Him. We'll have a different purpose in our lives. And so then, as we are alive in Him, as we have sought Him, He touches us and uses us to His glory. In the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah the prophet, now I am mixing these texts purposely. There are some that deal with life today. There are some that deal with life which is to come. But I want you to see the balance. I want you to see that there is blessing in this balance as well. Because through the eyes of faith, we can see the fulfillment of God's word. We read these words in the 19th and the 20th verses of Isaiah 26. It says, "Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." But now I note verse 20. That other verse dealt with a future thing. That other verse dealt with a matter of resurrection hope. But I see also that there is the surrounding and keeping love involved in verse 20, where it says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed." And of course, it's talking about God's punishment and judgment coming upon the earth. But as God surrounds us today, as He loves us and His mercy is about us, then we know that we are sustained and kept in His holy care. And nothing, of course, as it expresses in the last few verses of Romans 8, can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Luke, the 10th chapter, the words of Jesus in the 28th verse. Luke 10 and verse 28, I find here these words where it says, "And He said unto them, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." It's talking about a man who came to Jesus and asking Him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus had explained to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And then Jesus said, "You've answered right. Do this, and you shall live." So as you honor your God today, as you love your neighbor and support him and strengthen him and lead him toward in those ways that will lead to everlasting life, it will have a profound effect upon your personal everyday life, because as you do these things, ye shall live. Ye shall live. You shall live the life victorious in this age, and I believe that also Jesus is talking about that the are giving to him and talking about the answer to his question. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now remember then, you are what you were, yes, a product to a degree of your past, but then you will be what you have been. Strange, isn't it? You will be what you have been. You have to be careful then how you handle the life that is. Now I know that I cannot change the things of the past. I know that I cannot go back and relive yesterday. Sometimes people try to live in that past and it doesn't work. It caused all kinds of problems. I remember one day when my own sister came to me and she had been thinking about it. She came to me with tears in her eyes and she said, "Dick, do you hate me?" And I looked at her and I said, "Sis, what are you talking about?" She said, "Do you hate me?" I said, "Why? Why should I hate you?" She said, "Well, I was the one that knocked that kerosene lamp over that caused you to be burned, and you have scars on your face and fingers that are not on your hand, are missing from your hand. So do you hate me for that?" I said, "My goodness, life's too short to start with to hate anyone for something that they had no control over. A little two and a half year old girl knocked something over that caused some trouble, but she wasn't responsible for it." And I think that sometimes we carry around with us feelings that should not be. I think sometimes we even carry hatreds within our heart over things that should have been forgotten a long time ago. We have to go on. Do the things that love your neighbor, love your God, be forgiving, honoring God, Jesus Christ, and your fellow man, and you'll be blessed abundantly for that. So you are what you were, and you will be what you have been. I look forward to the future when God has promised wondrous things to his people. I think of the graciousness of God in making preparation for eternal life for each of us. And I would like you to turn with me to the book of Amos, to the 5th chapter and the 4th through the 6th verses. Amos, the 5th chapter, the 4th through the 6th verses. And the prophet is saying this: "Thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught." But he goes on then, I'll talk about this church. Talking this verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel." What did he say here? He is saying, seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Walk with him, and you shall be blessed. Walk with him, because there will be a blessing that will come upon you that's greater than anything that you could ever find in this world. In Romans, the 6th chapter, in the 23rd verse, a very familiar text, where it speaks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I had a very strange dream, and I know it was only a dream, one of those crazy things that comes up. But I had two dreams. And one of these crazy dreams was I was here at the church, and somebody came in here. I heard the door open, and I was back here in the office, and someone came into the church, somebody I'd never seen before. And they handed me a great big envelope. And in there, this envelope was clear full of money. All the money could be stuffed in there. And I said, "Well, what's this?" Well, do with it what you want to do. Well, the person walked out the door and the dream ended, so I don't know what I was supposed to do. And the other dream that I had along with it was that son, I was over at the house. And this fellow came and he had a big envelope, and it was stuffed full of cashier's checks on all the towns, banks around this area, Belton and every place else. And every one of these checks was for $10,000. Well, I awakened, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this check season. But what I'm getting at is here that it fits in so well, that the money of those dreams, would not in itself, purchase one moment in eternity for you, for me, for anybody else whose names are on the roll of this or any other church. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's only that which we do with the life that God has given us that will bring to us life everlasting. In the Roman, in the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, a very important verse speaks in this manner, verse 8. It says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord." In short, our lives, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. No other way. What we have done, you've all seen this time, this little plaque that says, "Only one life soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." You are what you were. You will be what you have been. God is saying here through the various writers, it's only as you seek me. It's only as you walk with me. It's only as you trust in me. It is only as you live for me that you shall live in the kingdom of God. I know that all of the money that have been all of the gold that has been mined from caves and from the stream beds and here and there over this world could be piled up and it wouldn't be a very big pile. I know that all the silver that has been mined would not last very long if we were to use it extravagantly. I know that all the money that has ever been printed in this world would not in itself bring happiness to humanity. Many years ago, I did not know this man personally, but I was at a place in Illinois conducting a revival service when they were telling me the tale of a man who had been a farmer, and they had he had one of these Penroyal type farms. If you know, you farmers know what I'm talking about. It grew weeds better than most anything else, but nevertheless, he had been able to make a living there for his family. But one day, some wildcatters came through the area and they struck oil on his little farm. First thing you know, they had the three or four wells in the corners of it, and one in the middle. And he had more wealth than he had ever known before. This is what they call Pennsylvania crude, from which they very fine refined oils were made. And the last time anyone saw that man, he was getting on board a train headed west toward St. Louis. So drunk he hardly knew where he was. None of the family ever saw him again. Wealth did not bring him any of the happiness that he sought. But I believe that there is a happiness in serving God and a happiness in serving Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is sufficient to make up for the lack of the things that we might have a desire to enjoy in this present time. I believe that we are often closer to our family in the Lord than we are to our family in the flesh. I believe that God has riches in Christ Jesus that are more important to us than riches in our pocketbooks or our bank accounts or our houses or our land. I believe that we who treasure the promises of God, believing the words of Jesus in John 5:28 and 29, where Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in my voice shall, that are in the grave shall hear my voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." Those who believe God's promises in the Word of God through Christ Jesus believe that it is important to place everything that they have upon the altar of sacrifice, as is expressed in Romans 12 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're journeying toward the kingdom of God. No, not alone are we journeying toward the kingdom of God, but we're today, this world is on a collision course with the purposes of God. I believe the nations of this world are rapidly reaching their extremity. I believe the nations of this world are rapidly, as you see in your bulletin this morning, that point where they can no longer rule themselves. And the course of man and the course of God are sheer opposite poles, and yet at the same time they're on a collision course, because God will not long put up with the evil that is in this world. And so we need, again, present our bodies, this living sacrifice. We need to present our bodies to Him in service, because we know that God is faithful even though we are not. God is faithful, and He has promised a kingdom to those who love Him and diligently seek and serve Him. Revelation, the 14th chapter and the 12th and 13th verses, there are some marvelous words here as we note the Revelator presenting to us the hope of mankind, of those who are in Him. It says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors and their work, you follow them. And then we notice here these, I should have gone back one verse to note. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Are you serving Him? Are you faithful to Him? Are you walking with Him? What is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your life? You are what you were. You will be what you have been. So as you serve God today, God will bless you. God will abundantly keep you. God will honor His word. But if you walk away from Him, there can be nothing in your future except judgment, harshness, hardness of life. Many have walked the way of the world and have found that the way of the transgressor is hard. I will tell again the story in conclusion here this morning. I've told many times over the years. We were working in a Skid Row mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan, many, many years ago. This old man's name was Doc, because, as we have told you before, he had been a medical doctor. He had gone from booze to narcotics and finally down in the street, pushing, injecting, mainlining heroin into his veins. Came along the street one day. Don Price and I met Doc, and Doc said almost simultaneously with Don Price, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. This is Scripture. The way of joy in Christ Jesus is a way that is illuminated by the love of God, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, by hope in God through Christ Jesus. We live and live the victorious life. We go forth from these walls in a few moments. We go out into the world. I do not know what will be out there. Many things will be out there. The television will be telling you all kinds of things. The newspaper will be telling you all kinds of things. People you meet will be telling you all kinds of things. But the future is secure in God through Christ Jesus. So I just trust that you'll commit your lives to Him, knowing that to lose something of this world for a moment is to gain everlasting life in the kingdom of God when Jesus our Lord returns. This world is shaking and quaking. The very next sound we could hear could well be the trumpet of the Lord. And if you should hear this trumpet, Would you shake and quake in fear? Or would you go out with great joy and expectation, crying out, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming? Are you ready? Are you one of His? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin? Do you really want life everlasting in the kingdom of God? If you want it, seek it, go after it. Commit your life to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, who is faithful, will remember your faithfulness, will grant you forgiveness of sins and strength to live for Him. So that regardless of the seeming sacrifice that you might make today, for the gospel's sake and for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the love of God, this will seem as nothing compared with the joy which is to come in Christ Jesus. Oh, how wonderful it will be when we see Jesus. Are you ready? Have you given yourself to Him? Are you ready? Remember, what you have been, you will be. If you live for Him who died for you, then He will give to you, Jesus Christ, by the power of God, will give you life everlasting when He comes again, bring about the resurrection and the establishment of the kingdom of God upon this earth. Get ready. Jesus is coming. He loves you. He wants you. He wants to give you life. Commit your life to Him this morning as we sing our closing song.